Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and we are broadcasting from the 4850-foot level at the Sanford Underground Research Facility. And we're going to take a little time and talk about art and science. And yeah. Joining me is Chicago playwright and screenwriter Penny Penniston.
That's right.
Thanks for being here. So Now Then Again is a play that you wrote in
2000. So it's 2000. Way back now.
Way back then. So, and you won several awards for it, and it took off.
Yeah, we did really well. We ran for about 17 weeks in Chicago. It's been produced around the country, lots of places, and it actually gets produced a lot around various science festivals, which is really fun. So I sometimes get to, you know, keep my toe in by coming out and seeing it at fun events like this.
So it's set at Fermilab in Chicago. And so do you have a relationship with Fermilab, or was it just intriguing for you as a writer?
Yeah, no, I have no official relationship with Fermilab, although when I was working on the play, they were incredibly gracious and helpful to me. I guess I just, I always liked reading layman science books, pop science books, so all of the, you know, Discover Magazine and Scientific American and the things you see in the bookstore under science books for people who were not, you know, master's and PhD students. And I read this book called Schrodinger's Kittens and the Search for Reality by, I can't remember the author's name, but the last chapter of the book described this theory, which was called the transactional interpretation of quantum mechanics, which posited that this particular wave traveled both forward and backward in time. And I thought that was, as a writer, I thought, what an interesting idea for a structure for a play of a story that travels both forward and backward in time at the same time. And how would you do that? And I was just intrigued by the structural idea. And because it had come from a book about physics, I wanted to make it, about physicists. And so I decided to write a love story between two physicists. And Fermilab was, you know, basically in our back door, right in our backyard in Chicago. So I set it at Fermilab because that was close. And so I started doing research about Fermilab, and I read a book called The God Particle, which was by Leon Lederman, I think that's how you say his last name, who was the former director of Fermilab. And that was also wonderfully helpful because it gave me an insight into the world and the culture of the physicists who work at the lab, what's important to them, how the interpersonal dynamics sort of play out in the lab environment. So I read that, and then I went out to the lab to visit, and they were very helpful there, and got to tour it, which is an amazing place. It's open to the public. It's you can just go at, you know, the accelerator was buried underground, still is buried underground, but I understand, I think it's inactive now, but it's buried underground. So the entire surface of the lab is restored prairie, and you could just go, you know, bike around it. It's really nice. So I went out there and I got a tour, and I started writing the play, and the lab was very helpful in the sense that they got me a sort of science consultant who I could go to with questions, who would sometimes check my math or check my facts. So I had a couple science consultants helping me, and I would sort of get the play to the point where it was good enough that the scientists started arguing with each other, and then I decided that at that point probably the science is close enough, or at least close enough that, you know, it's in the realm of something kind of, you know, grounded in a real world. But it is ultimately, you know, it's ultimately a love story, and it's ultimately a romance and a comedy. And so the science in it is a metaphor for what, you know, for love and for life. And it's not fully hard science, I guess, because I have had scientists, you know, kind of question me and pin me down, like, what are you saying about, you know, this esoteric form of science? And I was at a conference, you know, similar to this, like a neutrino day kind of event where it's scientists and artists together. And I had he's a Nobel Prize winner asking me, you know, questioning me about the science in my play. And I had to say, I'm sorry, I don't know. It's just, I read it in a book. So that is my disclaimer, I guess, before we go into the play, is that it's, you know, it's using science as a metaphor for these things, but it's not actually hard science.
Okay, so set up the play and the characters.
It's a love story. It sort of starts with this character Jenny, who is she's got a summer sort of fellowship at Fermilab, and she's a young experimentalist, and in in the physics world, again, this is something I learned from Lederman's book, which is really helpful, but there's just sort of this, there's this culture war, I guess, but they're the experimentalists and the theorists, right? Mm-hmm. And the experimentalists are very grounded in reality. They're very grounded in things, interested in things that can be proven here and now with the technology we have and with the constraints we have right now. And then there are the theorists who are sort of off in their, you know, with their whiteboards coming up with equations, and they come up with these theories that may or may not be true, but, you know, the experimentalists find them frustrating because, yeah, that might be great, but like, how do we prove it? How do we anchor this in reality? And so the woman is an experimentalist, the guy is a theorist, and you know, she's very grounded and he has his head in the clouds, and it's about it's about that culture world. It's ultimately about how do we make our life choices? Do we make them based on, you know, this grounding in reality, or do we make them based on, you know, kind of the big dreams and aspirations? You know, and so at the beginning of the play, she's engaged to another man from home. You know, her plan is to go back home and maybe, you know, probably give up science entirely. And as she's working at the lab, she finds she really loves the work, and she's feeling more and more that she wants to stay. But, you know, as a young woman, particularly a young woman in the sciences, she's not sure what path forward really there is for her. And you know, does she go with the safe, practical, grounded choice of the boy from home, or does she go with the sort of more big dream, aspirational choice of this other guy? So there's sort of a love triangle there, and I guess I just, you know, when I was reading, you know, it's funny because when I would talk about the play with people, they would say, "Well, a love story among physicists, that doesn't seem romantic," you know. But the funny thing is, I actually find it to be physics to be an incredibly romantic subject. I mean, not necessarily romantic in the like romantic comedy kind of way we see romance, but romantic in the literary sense, in the sense of seems to me that physicists, particularly when you're working at doing this kind of physics, when you're working on the really big questions about like the structure of the universe, like you're wrestling with things that are so large and so grand, and questions that you're only going to get the answer to in little tiny glimpses, you know, that, you know, it just strikes me that it's very similar to the way, you know, romantic poets or, you know, the romantic writers would sort of approach their world, in the sense of like there are these huge, grand, mysterious forces at work in the universe that we can't quite understand. But if we throw ourselves into them with, you know, with all of our passion and all of our heart, we can sort of articulate them in these little tiny little glimpses, and we can kind of get, we can bring that into ourselves a little bit. So I actually found it to be a very romantic subject. So.
You have a line, relativity, move fast enough and the world will slow down.
Yeah, so it's funny because the line is, you know, when you sometimes it's in pursuing these big things and in asking the big questions that we sometimes can reveal the small details, and we can see what's really important, and that the way to see the small details is not always to slow down and to stop and to make the conservative choice or to be unbold. What is the opposite of unbold? To be cautious. Sometimes the way to sort of get to see the small details is to think big and think really bold, and then small things can be revealed through that, which is kind of the way, you know, this kind of physics work in very, very small incremental, like on the grant, like when you think about the big pictures that they're, the big questions that they're asked, actually wrestling with, right? You know, birth of the universe, structure of the universe. They're looking at these very tiny little building blocks. But there is this wonderful faith that over time, as you know, if we get all of these little things and we put them together, a larger picture will emerge.
And that's the same in your play with relationships.
Yeah,
right?
And yeah, that sometimes when you pursue the big things, or when you sort of allow the big things to happen, or that sometimes, you know, you can find the small meaning and the I don't know, the day-to-day reality becomes much more real, I guess.
Okay. I don't want to give away the whole
right.
play, but the structure of your play was very
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you that it plays with time.
Uh-huh.
And so, yes, it was pretty complicated to work on, because it involved a lot of, you know, post-it notes and keeping track of, you know, how the timelines of the play sort of interact with each other. It's interesting because I teach writing, and when I was working on the play, I realized, you know, writers, particularly dramatic writers, people who write plays and screenplays, were really engineers, right? And when you listen to writers talk about their work, they actually use quite a few physics metaphors. They talk about forces of tension. They talk about, you know, arcs. They talk about friction and conflict and turbulence. And so there is this part of writing that is very much about motion, about in the same way that engineers study motion, right? It's about, because the one thing that all sort of stories that you experience in a theater or in a film have in common is they all last over a period of time. There's a beginning and an end, and you're taking the audience on this journey from the beginning to the end, right? Mm-hmm. So a physicist would talk about that as time, right? That's, you know, one, and you'll see in writing textbooks they always have graphs like this timeline, the line of time across your story, and you will look at how things change over time, right? The delta, what changes over time, and a lot of being a writer is like figuring out how do you make something change. Well, how do you make something change in the physical world is you give it a little push, right? If something's just sitting there, it has inertia, it won't move on its own. Mm-hmm. So you have to push it. You have to apply a force to it. Well, you do the same thing in writing with characters. You know, a character left by itself won't move. So you give it something they want, right? If I want something, if I want the girl, if I want to defeat the evil empire, if I want this thing, I'm not going to just sit here. I'm going to start moving. I'm going to start going in a particular direction. I'm going to start making things happen, you know, creating change over time. So actually, thinking along those lines, you know, as I was working on the play was actually helpful. So physics ended up sort of helping me as I was thinking about, like, you know, again, doing these graphs and these timelines and trying to, you know, keep them all in line in my head. It was probably one of the more complicated things I've ever worked on. So it was a lot of fun.
And when you see your work performed even 17 years later, what do you look for? Do you take something new away from it? From interpretation?
Yeah, sometimes. The nice thing about plays is they're always different, you know, unlike films. You know, every time you see the play, it's different actors, it's a different director, so it always has sort of this different spin on it, so that's fun. The other fun thing is it's a little bit like visiting your younger self, because the nice thing as writers is, you know, you're always working on, you write different plays at different times in your life, and they're very much you. And so, you know, you're going to write, I'm going to write a different play now than I would write today. And, you know, that long ago, I think I was just newly married. You know, my husband was the director of the play, you know, and so it's before I had kids. So, like, you know, it came from this particular time in my life. And so it's kind of fun to go back and revisit that a little bit and just remember, oh, right, that's where we were when we wrote the play, and remember doing it. We actually did the play at Fermilab one night, which was one of the best experiences because it was like the perfect audience for it. It's like, you know, it's basically a story about why physicists are sexy, and they loved it. So so it was a lot of fun to do it there.
Okay, so we're about out of time for this hour, and I want to thank you for taking the time and coming on. You're going to be available tonight after the dramatic reading for audience questions and answers, and make yourself available as well.
Yeah, come check it out.
It is at the Historic Homestake Opera House in Lead tonight at 6 o'clock, and also Saturday night at 6 o'clock as well. Again, it's a dramatic reading with the actors reading off the script. But I saw it last night, and it's a lot of fun.
Cool.
So thank you, Penny, very much for being with us.